Hey everyone, I'm DJ Plague.
I'm DJ Meridian.
On the wonderful Wicked 102.5.
Yeah.
And this is the flight deck where we will be talking about aviation related topics. And today we have a pretty interesting one for y'all where we will be talking about the Spirit Airlines bankruptcy.
Yep. Keeping it current.
So mainly what we will be going over is the background of the airline, some additional information about the airline that includes information about its fleet, and then we'll kind of dive into the bankruptcy, some of the reasons behind it, and kind of our personal speculations on it.
Yeah.
So, let's get started.
Yes.
Spirit Airlines was founded in 1964 as Clippert Trucking Company.
Yep. It used to not be an airline at all.
Used to be a trucking company.
Mm-hmm.
And then the company got renamed to Ground Air Transfer Incorporated in 1974. And then eventually in 1983, the company became Charter One Airlines.
Yep.
So from what I can tell, it wasn't until 74 that it became an airline.
And even then, it wasn't a scheduled airline. It was a charter.
It was a charter. So then Spirit Airlines was formed in 1992 and began scheduled passenger service in the U.S. And then in 1999, Spirit Airlines relocated their headquarters to Miramar, Florida. And it wasn't until 2001 that Spirit began flights to San Juan, Puerto Rico. And then in 2007, Spirit shifted to their low-cost carrier model. Would you like to explain what the low-cost carrier model is?
Well, yeah. So for those who haven't flown Spirit before, those who have will know, Spirit is a very no-frills airline. So what that means is every single additional thing that you might want out of a flying experience, you have to pay for it. Up front, the prices they give you, which are really low, are primarily just for a seat on that plane. If you want to pick that seat, if you want to bring any extra carry-on bag, checked bag, if you want any food of any sort, you have to pay extra for that. There were rumors at one point that they were even considering paying for access to the bathroom, but thankfully they didn't do that.
Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
So very no frills. Getting people to holiday destinations and back for very little, which is part of what led to their initial success. People wanted cheap flight. There's a reason that low-cost carriers are so popular. You look at Frontier, you look at Southwest, even technically JetBlue, and yeah, they are generally pretty well-established airlines at this point offering cheap fares.
Nice.
Yeah.
Would you like to start getting into some of their fleet, old and current?
Yeah. So Spirit initially started operations with MD-80s and DC-9s. These are McDonnell Douglas products, low wing, T-tail, engines at the back. Pretty iconic aircraft, although most of them aren't in service anymore globally. Spirit retired their last MD-80 series plane in February of 2009. It was an MD-87. And at that point, they became an all Airbus fleet. Their first Airbus was an A321, which they received in 2004. A321s, of course, being a classic workhorse of the industry. They, at that point in time, had every member of the Airbus A320 family, save for the A318. So they had the 19, the 20, and the 21. The number denotes the length of the plane. The higher the number, the longer the plane. And they retired their last A319 just a couple weeks ago on January 6th. So that leaves their current fleet of A320s, A320neos, A321s, and A321neos. And they currently have 164 aircraft in service, and 29 of those aircraft are parked. Now, do we want to talk about the parked?
Yeah.
Because that'll start to get into the issues that led them to their current state of affairs.
Right.
So, 28 of those parked aircraft are Airbus A320neos, and this is primarily due to Pratt & Whitney engine issues. If you go to Orlando International Airport, you will actually see some of these A320neos sitting there with no engines parked up near one of the runways.
Which will get us into sort of the bankruptcy itself.
Yep.
Some of the reasons why Spirit filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in November of 2024, which means that they're still allowed to operate while they restructure, thankfully.
Yeah.
So they don't have to completely shut down and stop
services. They aren't liquidating all of their assets at this point, so they're allowed to continue flying, which is good for their crews, good for their employees and all of that, all the people who rely on that airline for their livelihoods. There is a different form of bankruptcy, I believe, is a Chapter 7, which does include just complete liquidation. But yeah, Spirit is doing is purely restructuring their business in order to regain profitability.
So we'll say that as it went for a handful of airlines, COVID-19 really hurt their revenues.
Yep.
Although for some of the airlines, especially the low-cost ones, I think those saw more significant hits in revenue by COVID than some of the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, I mean, can really go for a lot of things. Even outside of the aviation industry, just COVID-19 really hurt a lot of businesses. So,
yeah, especially low-cost carriers for, I think, the reason that we're about to get into next. Because when COVID hit, a lot of people realized that they did not want to, they didn't want to pay for worse service, effectively.
Yeah, they did not want to sacrifice comfort for paying less. People became more willing to pay and put out more money to have a more comfortable flight experience, which I can't say I personally blame them.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be comfortable, especially when you're going to be in the air like that for sometimes hours on end.
It's not something that you would want to kind of sit through. And we'll probably get into this a little later. I have flown Spirit a few times, and yeah, part of it was just because the price was competitive.
Right.
But the experience was not too pleasant.
If you want to go ahead and get into that, you can.
Okay. So, yeah, I've flown Spirit 4 times. The first time I flew them was in 2015. It was my first flight alone, unaccompanied. And that was from Boston to Atlantic City on one of their A319s. That experience was fine. I was sitting near the back of the plane, so it was a little weird. But, you know, I had some friendly flight attendants that helped me out with that. The second time I flew them was from Atlantic City to Boston, but that was in 2016, so it wasn't a return leg. Again, really pleasant experience. But my last flight, well, my second to last flight with Spirit was the real stinker. This was from Orlando to Baltimore 2 years ago, but our aircraft got changed and they delayed the flight by around 3.5 hours. And the aircraft that was coming in switched from a domestic flight to an international flight, so we had to go to the opposite side of the Orlando International Airport to get to our flight, which meant exiting security and going through it again in the even worse line for the A gates in this case. And because it was forward, by the time we landed it was 4 a.m. in Baltimore.
Geez.
Yeah. And the return leg, that flight left at 5 a.m. so we had to get up at a atrociously early hour to get to it. But yeah, those two flights were on their A320s.
And I think I'd also argue that with some of the low-cost carriers, especially when you look at ones like, you know, Silver Airways, Frontier, it seems like that another thing that you kind of sacrifice in paying that lower cost is more inconvenient flight times.
Yes.
So you're getting up and you're getting out there for a flight at 5 a.m, or you're not leaving until
midnight
or like 10 p.m. or something like that. A lot of the time you are not only sacrificing comfort on the plane, but you're sacrificing comfort in time. Just there's a lot that you go to sacrifice because you're paying less.
Yeah.
And it's not just in the flight itself, it's in other aspects with the time of the flight, delays,
sometimes
stuff.
Quality of service, although
right.
Usually I've found that Spirit's flight attendants are very pleasant to. So, it, in some ways also you're paying less because you have to deal with the sort of people who might want to pay less money for a flight like this.
Right.
Spirit passengers have a reputation of being relatively chaotic. I believe it was Spirit that recently, I believe they recently imposed a rule where you weren't allowed to board their flights barefoot.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so...
Which is definitely one of those who had to do it for it to be written down.
Exactly. So, I think that kind of goes to show the sort of company you might encounter on Spirit. And I think some people didn't want to deal with that. So, yeah, Spirit has quite the reputation. I've certainly experienced a bit of the negative side of it, but overall, I'd say they're a perfectly pleasant, perfectly normal airline that is beholden to the same safety rules and regulations of any other airline. So you aren't risking your life getting on one of their planes, right. That's for sure. So that's Spirit for you. But yeah, so one of the reasons for their bankruptcy can be argued is people being less willing to sacrifice comfort to pay less on an airline like Spirit.
Right.
Which has subsequently led, so one of their leading competitors is, of course, Frontier. And Frontier has started to introduce more premium offerings and also have less features of the flight be additional costs. So, like, you know, you might actually get a free seat selection included in the price, or you might get a complimentary checked bag or a complimentary carry-on bag. And when they announced that, they had a big reveal. It was very polished. And then the next day, Spirit very quickly came out and said that they were going to be introducing the same. And it seemed to be a very rushed response.
Right, which also hurt their profits a lot, it seemed.
Yeah, their profits, their business model was heavily reliant on the profits that those additional expenses brought them. So eliminating them is...
So whereas Frontier could more easily afford something like that.
Yeah, because
and it not hurt their profits as much.
Also because they had a lot of time to plan the change to ensure that it would actually be good for their business model. Whereas Spirit did it as a reaction.
Because Spirit didn't take that time to actually, like, plan it, see if it would fit well in their business model.
Yeah.
And make sure it wouldn't hurt them financially, it ended up falling on its face and hurting their profits.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant thing, really, I would say, for them.
Also, there were a couple of failed merger and buyout deals.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Actually, with Frontier.
Yep.
Frontier failed to do a merger with Spirit after JetBlue came in with a buyout deal, and then that buyout deal was then subsequently killed by an antitrust suit. So, gotta love that. But from what I've heard, is Spirit and Frontier have actually resumed talks.
Yes and no.
Mergers.
Like Frontier put out another merger offer, but the Spirit's board is not a fan of it. Spirit, at least their board of directors, wants to remain independent, which is interesting.
But the talks still resumed.
Yeah, the thought of a merger between those two companies was kind of reignited, I would say. And
I think it'd be interesting to see where that goes.
I agree, although I think that merger would be shut down about as quickly as the JetBlue one, just because of antitrust. Because those two companies are very similar, and I think that them merging wouldn't be good for the consumer, because they have a much greater market share than they would have previously, and I think it would cause prices to go up in a manner that is not good for your average airline passenger.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Also, the JetBlue failed merger. The main reason JetBlue was trying...
I thought it was just straight out...
Purchase.
Buyout, yeah. Not a merger.
Yeah. It was a buyout. The reason JetBlue was trying to buy out Spirit is purely because they want more slot access on the West Coast. If you look at JetBlue's network, the West Coast is barely extant. They want more slots into places like Los Angeles, San Francisco, all those. And those places are all slot limited. And who has slots? Spirit. Spirit's struggling, right. So if they swoop in and buy them out, then...
then they can get those slots on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And make more money off of those areas.
Exactly. There's obviously plenty of demand for transatlantic flights in the state.
Right. Because,
you know, people want to get from major population centers in the Northeast, Philadelphia, D.C., New York, Boston, Baltimore, those kind of major metropolitan areas, and they want to get from there to... Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento, San Jose, San Diego, all those major business centers. But for now, JetBlue's flight offerings are pretty limited. So in theory...
do they offer any locations on the West Coast?
Yeah, they do. Just not as many as their competitors. And...
would you happen to know off the top of your head what those locations are?
I'm about to pull them up for you.
Okay.
It's interesting. I really like JetBlue. I had never flown them until this past summer, and it was fantastic. So, okay, as of right now, JetBlue has a flight from JFK to Vancouver, flight from Boston to Seattle, and then they have flight from Boston, Fort Lauderdale, and JFK to San Francisco. They have flights from Boston, Fort Lauderdale, JFK, and West Palm to Los Angeles, and then they have flights from Boston and JFK to San Diego. They also have a few flights to Phoenix and Las Vegas.
Okay.
And Salt Lake City, but that's getting more east. And really the main thing was they just wanted more slots so that they could increase competition on their route.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, if you look, I'm going to pull up Spirit's West Coast destinations just so we have that kind of
comparison.
Yeah, so Spirit has flights to, yeah, they've got flights to San Diego, they've got flights to Santa Ana, Los Angeles, Long Beach, San Jose, San Francisco, Sacramento, and then also Reno, Vegas, Phoenix, Portland, Seattle. So yeah, really just a more established West Coast presence than JetBlue because they kind of got in early. I would say also, in a way, I think that the Frontier Spirit merger would be good from a corporate end. It would be relatively smooth, but I think on a consumer end, it wouldn't be as good.
Hypothetically, if Spirit were to merge with an airline, what airline do you think they would merge with and it not hurt the consumer?
I don't think there's any airline they could merge with where it wouldn't hurt a consumer, because having more competition in the airline industry is a guarantee to lower prices for the consumer as a whole. It's rules of competition versus oligarchy and consolidation.
I guess I meant more by that question, what would hurt the consumer less?
I would still say Frontier, actually. Frontier is still very good about keeping their prices down. I've flown them too. I actually like them less than Spirit because their seats are even worse, and I had to actually pay to bring my backpack on, which I didn't have to do with Spirit.
Okay.
And that was from Orlando to LaGuardia and back. They use a very weird terminal in LaGuardia, so does Spirit. And I didn't like Frontier as much, but I think that a Spirit-Frontier merger is the most logical for the consumer. It would be very similar to when AirTran and Southwest merged, actually, because it's two very similar companies with very similar fleets as well, actually, merging into one larger airline. The main thing that spurred on the AirTran Southwest merger was that Southwest wanted a presence in Atlanta, and AirTran had a pretty sizable presence there. Ironically, after that merger, Southwest has gradually reduced their presence in Atlanta. But again, two very similar fleets and very similar business models merging into one airline. That's kind of what happened with that merger and what I think would happen with a Frontier and Spirit merger, because both of them operate A320, A320neos, A321, A321neos almost exclusively. And if anything, it would be easier than that AirTran Southwest merger, because AirTran had 717s and Southwest has no business with 717s, so they did sell them all to Delta. Yeah, I think the most logical would be Frontier.
Okay.
I still don't think it should happen for competition's sake, and also for the benefit of employees and for the benefit of the public. But I think the best option is for Spirit to really refine their business model, choose who they actually want to be as an airline, and go from there.
Do you think that they should, like, just keep to the low-cost model that they've been kind of doing this entire time and not try and go into the...
Well, I think that because what I've been seeing with the industry is there's more of a demand for a, like, semi-low-cost carrier. So if you've ever seen Breeze, Breeze has a domestic first class plus a, like, premium economy and a proper economy. So you have the option to get a regular seat, a seat with a bit more legroom, and then a larger seat with more legroom and a bit more service. I think that Spirit should become a bit like Breeze in that sense.
Well, I was asking because the attempts to change their model to that premium all-inclusive hurt them a good bit. Do you think changing, maybe taking more time to look into the premium all-inclusive and finding a better way to incorporate it into their business model, do you think that would help them? Or do you think that, as you previously stated, switching their model to look more like Breeze's would benefit them more?
I think that switching their model would benefit them more because I think that what they were trying to do with that reactionary change would lead to the same thing. They were already planning to introduce some slightly more premium options. They call it the big seat, where it's like, I wouldn't call it a domestic first, but it's like it's a larger seat in the front with a bit more legroom. They have that already. I think that what they need to use this bankruptcy period for is they need to refine their business model. They need to actually, like, flesh it out a bit, define who they are. Also, just I wanted to pull this up because I think it's kind of funny. Breeze's seats, their seat class is nice, nicer, and nicest.
Yeah. That's funny.
Breeze, one of the things that they kind of specialize in is that they're focusing on underserved airports and communities. So
Daytona Beach.
Yeah, Daytona Beach, Wilmington, Providence, Hartford, New Haven, Windsor Locks, both Wilmingtons actually, Delaware and North Carolina. Like places like that are like Charleston, cities that don't see as much service. And I think that Spirit is also pretty good about that. So a significant part of their West Coast presence is that they have basically a hub in Long Beach. Right. Most people don't fly into Long Beach, like airline wise, but Spirit does, and it's worked out for them pretty well. They have a ton of flights out of there. Also, Spirit is, to my knowledge, I think they're the only airline that actively serves Atlantic City in New Jersey, which is kind of interesting because Atlantic City is, you know, pretty big destination. Spirit is the only airline that actually serves Atlantic City Airport with planes. American Airlines serves them with a bus.
So with that being said, I would argue that maybe picking up more locations like that where they are less served would be possibly beneficial.
Yeah, I think it would kind of help them avoid some of the more competitive services because having a ton of competition on different routes definitely hurts them. Spirit usually provides the cheapest service on any given route that they're on. So I think that operating out of some underserved communities could allow them to charge maybe a little more than they would usually for routes of those lengths, which could help them kind of bring back a bit of profitability. Really, what I hope is that they take the time to refine their business model and get back on their feet. Because I like seeing those bright yellow planes, although personally I long for their silver paint job that they had back in the late 2000s. Another benefit of a Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceeding is it allows airlines to negotiate down the cost of aircraft on order. So, or like defer payment. So American Airlines took advantage of that a while ago because they went through a bankruptcy proceeding and they used it to negotiate down the price of some aircraft they had on order. As of right now, Spirit has 55 aircraft on order, 23 A320 NEOs and 32 A321 NEOs. So I would expect that they're using this bankruptcy proceeding to help negotiate the cost that they're actually going to be spending on those planes, which should also long-term reduce their expenses.
I think definitely Spirit's, they have a pretty decent presence in Orlando at MCO.
Mm-hmm.
If I recall correctly, they also have a presence in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah, a huge presence in Fort Lauderdale.
But the only airport in like the Florida Panhandle that they fly in is Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
So I think picking up other Panhandle locations, like
Panama City,
maybe even ECP, yeah, Tallahassee, maybe even Jacksonville would be helpful to them.
Oh.
As far as Florida goes.
Just a note again, Spirit's operating bases are Atlanta, Chicago O'Hare, Dallas Fort Worth, Detroit, Fort Lauderdale, Houston Intercontinental, Las Vegas, Miami, Newark, and Orlando. And they are also the largest operator of the Airbus A320neo in America, which is the reason that the Pratt & Whitney engine issues have been hitting them so hard.
Do you want to go ahead and get into that?
Yeah. So, Pratt & Whitney has a series of engines called the GTFs, the geared turbofans. I won't go into turbines too much because it's a class I'm currently taking and I will get too wordy with it, but pretty much it's a smaller engine with a large fan on the front, which helps provide more thrust with less fuel burned. So it's quieter and more fuel efficient. The problem is that they have had some issues with the alloys being used in the engine, as well as just some overall quality control issues. So what that has led to is, because this is the sole engine series available on the Airbus A220, plus the most popular engine option on the A320neo family, so the 319neo, the 320neo, and the 321neo. What this means is that every single airline that had received a Pratt & Whitney engined aircraft prior to a certain point has to park that plane for anywhere between 9 months to a year while the engines of the aircraft are removed, sent to Pratt & Whitney to get the relevant parts replaced, and then sent back and reinstalled on the aircraft. So
those planes are down for months to even a year or more at a time.
Yeah.
Which, that's planes that they can't use.
Yeah. As of right now, Pratt & Whitney claims that they can get the time down to as low as 90 days for this turnaround. But when it initially started, it was lasting 6 months to a year because of part shortages. So what this means, of course, is that Spirit, being the largest U.S. operator of the A320neo, they got hit particularly hard by these issues. There's another airline, an airline called Go First in India, that doesn't exist anymore. Because they had an A320neo only fleet, the Pratt & Whitney shutdowns and parkings of aircraft had it hurt them so much that they couldn't actually keep operating. So they shut down completely.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And there were a few high-profile engine failures of this series, which is what led to the scrutiny. So, you know, there's a reason they're doing it, but it sucked. There's a current airline in Europe, Wizz Air, that's being particularly hit hard by it, but they've got a ton of previous generation A320 aircraft, and that's what's keeping them afloat right now. But it's not good, and it especially hurts Spirit because so much of their model is reliant on these aircraft. So, yeah, there will likely be a lawsuit brought against Pratt & Whitney by airlines who have suffered losses as a result of these faulty engines, but how much that actually pays out to the airlines is to be determined.
Speaking of payout,
yeah,
Spirit, thankfully, was able to secure, it was $300 million to sustain their operations, which is really good because now they have that extra money on hand to help them continue their operations while they restructure.
I believe it was technically in the form of a credit line extension. So it just kind of means that it like kind of renegotiated their debt almost. And it meant that they could take out an additional loan. But it's good. I think that if they are accepting this deal, it means that they are confident that they will be back in operation and that they will be back to a profitable state where they could pay it off. Yeah, hopefully we can continue to see them in the skies.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you happen to know, because I don't know much of anything about like the debt that they have racked up over time.
I do not know a number.
I don't know a number, and I don't know what the debt they racked up is from.
The specific source of the debt is unclear. It is likely due to aircraft payments plus fuel cost plus paying the airport plus, in theory, staffing as well.
So just debt occurred from
operations. Yeah. They listed assets and liabilities between $1 and $10 billion at the time of filing. So it's a lot of money. And the Spirit did reject that purchase offer from Frontier. It was going to be $2.1 billion in stock and cash, which would also require Spirit's creditors to invest $350 million, and it was significantly less than the $2.9 billion merger they had announced in early 2022. They have rejected the offer. They have said that they would welcome further negotiations with Frontier, but I think that the main reason that they rejected this offer is that they felt that they were being basically either undervalued or lowballed.
So the Spirit Frontier merger is currently off the table.
It's off the table. The negotiations are still active, though.
Like, that's good.
They're welcome to negotiating. So
it's good that they're welcome to negotiate it and possibly get a better deal out of it,
yeah,
if they can.
I agree. I think if they are going to pursue merger, that is the most logical course of action with Frontier.
Right.
But yeah, to be seen.
To be seen. Hopefully they can build themselves back up with a better model. Hopefully they can work everything out so they can continue to operate as an airline, because I certainly enjoy seeing those big yellows up in the sky, yeah, every so often.
Mm-hmm. In terms of other interesting rumors, there was a rumor recently that United wanted to purchase JetBlue, but they have currently dispelled those rumors.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone. Again, I'm DJ Plague.
I'm DJ Meridian.
And this is The Flight Deck. Thank you so much for listening.